Verse 46, whilst Mary was in her cousin's house, Elizabeth, she said these words. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." A little boy went to the ladies' department to get his mother a very special Christmas gift. He bashfully leaned over the counter and he spoke to the lady. He said, "Mrs., excuse me, can you help me get a special gift for my mother? I don't know what to do. I'd like to buy a dress for her, but I don't really know what type of dress to get her." The lady asked, "Well, what size is your mother? Is she a large lady, a little lady? Is she tall or is she small?" And the little boy simply looked up into the lady's eyes and she said, "You know my mother, she is just short of perfect. Just short of perfect." And you know, when you think of mothers in a million, or perhaps mothers in the Bible who were just short of perfect, you could think of many in Scripture. You could think perhaps of Rebecca. You could think perhaps of Hannah. You could think even of Sarah. But you know, you could also think of Mary. In 1 Peter chapter 3, after speaking of some of the qualities of a meek and gentle Christian lady, he then gives the believers there under pressure the examples of some fine Old Testament woman, setting before them the example. He said in 1 Peter 3 verse 5, "After this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves." And here Mary is one such lady. While she was not perfect and was not sinless, nor was she a mediatrix like Rome would have us to believe, yet she does appear in Scripture as a wonderful picture of how to conduct ourselves at Christmas. You see, there are two dangers that face the believer at Christmas time when we think of Mary. There is the example of overemphasizing Mary. Of course, Rome do that. But you know, there is also the danger of underemphasizing Mary. And sometimes we tend to do that as Bible-believing Christians. But here in this chapter, the angel Gabriel had just told Mary that she is now bearing the child Jesus. Out of all of those who could have been chosen, Mary, the handmaid of the Lord, was chosen to be the bearer of Jesus Christ. And as she received this news, we then find her making a long journey up to the hill country in Judah. And there entering into the house of her cousin Elizabeth. She said in these verses, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior." And as she realized that she was carrying the Christ, she was rejoicing in the good news of Christmas. And at Christmas time, whilst we might receive bad news, yet we are to rejoice over the good news. You are to rejoice of Christ this Christmas. Oh, there is many things that Christmas time that can rob our joy, that can take our joy away. There are the trials that we meet. There are the unseen, perhaps, tears that we possess. But this is a joyful season. Why? Because Christ came, Christ was born, he entered into this world to be the Savior of the world, and now he is in heaven pleading and praying for his people. Oh, Christmas is a joyful season, not for the reasons that the world gives to us, but for the reasons that Scripture gives. Because of the fact that Christ was sent forth, his name was Jesus, to save his people from their sins. Again, coming to the shepherds, we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, that the angel said unto them, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The word tidings here, it simply means news. And just the shepherds, it was the middle of the night, they were tending their flock, they had things to do, they had things to take care of, they had perhaps worries on their mind. But what did the angel say? He said, "I'm bringing you good news, and it will be a source of great joy to you." And in a world of doom, the good news of Christmas brings delight. It should bring joy to the soul of the believer. Oh, tonight, and as we even think of tomorrow and this Christmas festive season, there is much to be thankful for, much to be joyful for. And tonight I trust that you're like Mary. Here as she finds out that Christmas, as it were, is commencing. And as she is the one who is bearing the Christ. It was her song. Her song. Her song was, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Tonight at Christmas time, are you rejoicing? Are you rejoicing, truly rejoicing in what Christ has done for you? And so this evening, for the time that remains, I just want to leave with you three Christmas portraits of Mary. Christmas portraits of Mary. The first portrait or picture that I want to leave with you of Mary is Mary submitting, she presents her soul. Mary submitting, she presents her soul. Verse 38, we read, Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. The Greek word here for handmaid, it is a female, the female noun for a slave. Mary, therefore, she saw herself as a slave or a handmaid of the Lord. In Bible times, slaves were noted for many things. But they were especially noted for their obedience to and submission to and surrender to the will of their master. And here we find Mary. Mary, she had her whole life mapped out before her. But all of a sudden the angel comes to her and tells her, "Mary, you're going to be with child. You're going to carry the baby at Christ." She had been chosen to bear Christ. And what was Mary's response? Well, in this verse, we read verse 38, "Be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, she said, "Look, I'm willing. I'm willing. Whatever your word is to me, should you choose me to bear Christ, to carry Christ, to be the one who would bring forth the Son into the world, I'm willing." Now that is no mean feat. That is no thing that we should overlook. Bible commentators believe that Mary here at this stage of her young life, she was either in her late teens or her early 20s. She had her whole life mapped out ahead of her. Remember, she was espoused, which simply means she was engaged. She perhaps looked forward and looked to plans that she had with Joseph. She could have said, "I am young, take someone else. I have my own plans, my own will, my own ambition." But no, she willingly submitted to the will of God, and she carried Jesus Christ. And having been saved by Christ and selected by Christ, we are to submit to Christ. To constantly state like Mary, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And in a similar fashion, you have been chosen tonight if you're saved. Christ, God has chosen you just like Mary, as it were, to be a bearer or a carrier of Christ. And sometimes the Lord shows up in your life, and like Mary, he asks you to do certain things which we find difficult, things which we may find strange. He shows up at the most unexpected of times and the most unexpected of places. And whenever he does this, will you be like Mary and say, "Look, Lord, whatever it is, yes, Lord, I might have my life planned out and mapped out, but Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it." In James chapter 4, James warns the believers of the entrapments and ensnarements of the world. And in this context, he then says in James 4 verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." The word submit is interesting. In the original text, it was used to describe the arrangement of troops under the command of a leader. It is a military term. You imagine it, all these troops gathered together, and then they're placed in rank and file, all waiting the instruction of the commander. And in telling them to submit themselves unto God, James was reminding the believers who were under pressure, under difficulty, that they were to arrange their lives under God, their chief commander. And rather than arguing with God, we need to arrange our lives before God. We need to submit to Christ, our heavenly King. So often do we not do it. The Lord shows up in our life, maybe even at Christmas time. Maybe even this week the Lord will show up in your life and He'll ask you to do something strange, something startling, something that you maybe scratch your head at, something that you can't understand. Perhaps when He does that, we tend to say why. We tend to say how. We tend to say where. But like Mary, oh, having been chosen to bear Christ, we are to submit. We are to say, look, I'm just your handmaid, Lord. Just a slave and willing to serve thee. Here is my life. Take it and use it. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And here is Mary, and she's certainly not perfect. But nevertheless, she says to the angel, whatever, wherever, whenever. Her life was arranged to what God would have her to do. Imagine that, a young girl, and the Lord chooses her. A poor, lowly maiden. But the Lord chooses her and asks her to bear and carry Christ. Mary submitting, she presents her soul. I want you to see, secondly, Mary singing, she praises her Saviour. Mary singing, she praises her Saviour. Verses 46 and 47 we read, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. The word magnify, it means to make great. Means to exalt, means to elevate, means to celebrate. Mary, by this stage, had been visited by the angel Gabriel to tell her that she was going to give birth to the Saviour. And whenever she received this news, she went to her cousin Elizabeth's house, which was in the hill country. Verse 39, we read, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. And now she was with her cousin Elizabeth. It seems her cousin Elizabeth is much older than her. But it also seems that she has a very close and intimate relationship with this cousin. As she walks in the door of Zacharias and Elizabeth, Elizabeth is also with child. She is carrying John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary walks in the door, the babe John the Baptist in the womb, he leaps for joy. And this shows Elizabeth that there's something different about Mary. Something has happened to her cousin. Verse 43 we read, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In other words, Elizabeth knows. Even before Mary opens her mouth, Elizabeth somehow knows, miraculously knows, that she's carrying the baby Christ. Now when this happens, Mary does something. From verses 46 through to 55, Mary bursts forth into one continuous hymn of praise. And yes, she had already known it. Yes, she had been told by the angel. And now she was carrying Christ. She was aware of the fact she was a bearer of Christ. But now, realizing it afresh, she states, my soul will magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. When she recognized who she was carrying, who she possessed, she spontaneously burst forth into a hymn of praise. And in possessing Christ, you're then to praise Christ. To praise Him this Christmas for your salvation. Oh, do you know Christ in the same way that Mary knew Christ? Yes, Mary was carrying Christ, but we also read here that she called Christ her Saviour. My soul doth magnify the Lord. She's calling Him his Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. Mary was saved at this time. She knew Christ as her Saviour. I wonder tonight, do you know Him like that? Yes, I'm not asking you, are you carrying Him physically, but are you carrying Him spiritually? Do you have Him in your heart? And if you do have Him in your heart, I wonder, like Mary, are you praising? Are you singing? I wonder, even this Christmas, have you that song afresh? Are you rejoicing in all that Christ has done for you? Can you say, like Mary, my soul, it wants to just make Christ big. It wants to magnify my Lord. My soul, I'm rejoicing in God my Saviour. Indeed, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you could think of another lady who burst forth into a hymn of praise while she was carrying a child. There you read of Hannah. And in verse 2 onwards of 1 Samuel 2, we read, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none as holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Hannah had been immeasurably blessed. She had been barren previously, but the Lord had now given her a child. And in giving her a child, what was her response? It was just like Mary, to rejoice in all the Lord had done for her. And whilst we receive gifts at Christmas, we should remember constantly the gift at Christmas. Take time like Mary to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Christmas time is a nice time of year. It's that time where we get that we maybe don't get the rest of the year to see family, to see friends, to catch up with people that we maybe haven't seen for quite a while. And it's a nice time, but it can also be a busy time. But amidst the hustle and the bustle, amidst all of the busyness perhaps even of this next week, take time like Mary and rejoice in all that Christ has done for you. This Christmas time, remember the one who was sent forth, and remember to praise Him and to rejoice in the God of your salvation. You know, in 1791, John Wesley was 88, and he was lying in his deathbed, and lying there knowing that his days were numbered, he began to sing the hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath." Wonder tonight, as you have received the gift of life and the gift of breath, when you're like Wesley, will you live life as a perpetual hymn of praise? "I will praise my Maker whilst I have breath." Mary submitting, she presents her soul. Mary singing, she praises her Saviour. The third and final Christmas portrait of Mary I want to leave with you is Mary searching, she ponders her son. Verse 29, we read there, "She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." The verb here for cast her mind, in the Greek it comes from a verb meaning to take inventory or take stock. You know what it means when you work in perhaps a shop or a business and you do that end of year stock take. You go through everything thoroughly, you count what's there, you count what's not there, you count what's missing, you count what's present. Well, here is Mary, and she's taking a stock take or an inventory check in her mind. She had received this salutation, this information from Gabriel, and she was blessed and highly favored from God. And what does she do? She takes time to cast it all in her mind, to think about it, to think about what manner of child this was, to think about how all of this had come about. And I'm sure, knowing Mary, as we can know her from Scripture, Mary, of course, the great thought would have been in her mind, "Lord, why me? Why me? I'm just a handmaid. There's nothing special about me, Lord. Why should you come? Why should you choose me to bear Jesus Christ?" And in possessing Christ and praising Christ, there must then be a pondering of Christ, a casting Him about and a turning Him over in your mind. You know, in Christmas, our minds can be taken up with so many other things, legitimate things, family, as we've said, friends. But in the busyness of this season, don't forget to ponder Christ. Like Mary, take that stock take, that inventory check, that spiritual stock take, and thoroughly think about who Christ is, what it means really for Him to be born, and why we really celebrate Christmas. You know, as you begin to think of Mary in the Scripture and consider her, you begin to understand that Mary was always thinking. Mary was a thinker. Because in Luke 2:19, when Christ was born, again we read, "Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And here she is thinking about it and casting it in her mind whenever she has just received the child. And then some months later, as she gives birth, again she's pondering, she's casting it about in her mind. Ah, but Mary wasn't the only thinker in the family, because Joseph often thought about these things as well. We saw on Wednesday night past in Mark 1:20 that while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And again, it seems that Joseph, he was thinking about what it meant for Christ to come and to be carried by his wife. Whilst Christmas is a time for presents, it should also be a time for pondering the greatest present of all, the Christ of Christmas. Oh, tonight, have you the spirit of Mary? Have you the spirit of Joseph? Casting these things in your mind, thinking about them, pondering them, thinking what it really means for Christ the Holy One to bear away your sin. Take time this Christmas to do just that. You know, you think of how thorough children are at Christmas time. You see them on Christmas Day and they have a gift and maybe it's been wrapped two or three times. And they tear off all the paper, they leave nothing, no stone unturned. And then they get the present and they look at the present and they look at it from every angle. And maybe even if it's in a bag, they then look in the bag to see is there anything else to do with this present. They're very, very thorough. They take the present and they expect it. They really get to know what this present is. They're taken up by it. And oh, here we have the greatest gift of all. Paul calls it the unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of Christ. Take time this Christmas to inspect it, to inspect the gift of salvation. You know, oftentimes you have families and every year they get a special Christmas family photo. They get all dressed up, maybe in the Christmas jumper, and they maybe take a photo and they place it in an album. Or they go on the internet and they make a card out of it and that's their card that they send. And it is a Christmas portrait. Well, here tonight, we have a Christmas portrait of Mary. Remember this portrait, this picture that we have taken of Mary at Christmas. Mary submitting, Mary singing, and Mary searching. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives this evening.